Would you turn back to Galatians chapter 1? While you're turning there, tonight I'm going to speak on the God of peace and the peace of God. The God of peace and the peace of God. And we're also going to have a baptism tonight. Stephen Bryce is going to confess Christ in believer's baptism. And what is the requirement for baptism? Faith in Christ. That's the only requirement. If you believe the gospel and you haven't been baptized, you should be baptized. If anyone else wants to be baptized, let me know and we'll baptize you tonight. I've entitled this morning's message, Separated from the Womb. The inspiration for this message came to me from simply reading Galatians chapter 1, and I was overwhelmed with the thought that God had separated me from my mother's womb. That's an overwhelming thought, isn't it? He had separated me from my mother's womb, and He called me by His grace. And I know it in my case. The only way I could be called is by grace. And He called me by His grace, and He revealed His Son. Not merely to me, but in me. Very important. That I might preach Him among the heathen. And when God gave me this revelation of Himself, and this is true of every believer, I knew I didn't need to consult with flesh and blood. I didn't have to ask man's opinion or have man's approval about this when the Lord revealed His gospel to me. Now, what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, every believer can say, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, what led Paul to make this statement? Now, move back to verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1. The theme of the book of Galatians is the recovery of the gospel. The Galatians had lost the gospel. And the theme of this book is the recovery of the gospel. Look in verse 6. Paul says to the Galatians, I marvel. I am amazed. I am dumbfounded that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, would change the gospel of Christ. Now the Galatians had quickly removed themselves from the grace of Christ, and Paul said, I marvel at this. You see, there were some that had come into the Galatian church with another gospel, a perversion of the gospel. And wherever there is truth, the counterfeit will be working. And this is a scary thought, here as well as there. Wherever there is the truth, the counterfeit will be at work. Now, these certain false teachers had come into the church at Galatia, And they sought to lead the Galatians away from the gospel by adding to it. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? O foolish Galatians." Look in chapter 4, verse 9. "But now that you have known God," or rather, "are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements?" He's talking about the law, "whereunto you desire to be in bondage." Look in verse 16 of chapter 4. "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you," these false teachers. "They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them." Look what he says in verse 19. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Verse 7 of chapter 5. "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" What happened that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion, this belief you're espousing, "It comes not of him that calleth you." A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You put one work in salvation, you make the whole thing of works. "Now I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you," he's talking about the people who brought in this false teaching, "shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you." Now, these men had come into the church of Galatia, and the Galatians evidently had taken the bait. And Paul says, "I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ." And I got to thinking about what Paul said. I'm amazed by this. Nothing much amazes me. I'm including myself in this. People are so sinful, so weak, so fragile, that I'm not surprised by anything. Myself or anybody else. Nothing much surprises me. Disappointed? Yes. In myself? Yes. In others? Yes. Yes, there is disappointment, but not surprise. We're silly sheep that easily wander off. Don't you find that's true with regard to yourself? We just sang that song, "Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It." Prone to leave the God I love. "Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Now, like I said, I'm not surprised by anything I hear, but here's something that would amaze me. If any of us left grace and went back to works. Now that's what Paul is saying. I marvel. I am utterly amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ, to another gospel. Now what is the grace of Christ? The grace of Christ is saving grace. Now, what is grace according to the Bible? Now, all of these elements must be there, or God's grace is not being taught, is not being preached, is not being believed. First, if you talk about grace, you've got to begin with electing grace. You've got to begin with God's sovereign choice of his people before time began. It's called the election of grace. You know, when I read where he separated me from my mother's womb, I know that's an act of his grace. Because if there were any other reason, I wouldn't have been separated. It's the free and sovereign grace of God. When you talk about his grace, you talk about his justifying grace, wherein he makes a sinner just. I love this more now than I ever have. That even though in and of myself I have nothing but sin, I'm just before God, and I really am just because Christ's righteousness is mine. That's justifying grace. Redeeming grace, where he paid for my sin. Regenerating grace, where he gives me life by his grace. Preserving grace, where he keeps me from falling. All of salvation is by grace.
Aren't you thankful for that? Would you want it to be any other way? Salvation is by grace. And Paul looked at these Galatians. He says, who's bewitched you? What's happened? How have you been so soon removed from Him that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel? And look what he says in verse 7, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. That's Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. It's not a different gospel that will save, but it's a perversion. Listen real carefully. No one is saved by a perverted gospel. Not going to happen. Verse 8. Now look at Paul's language. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven. I don't care if it's me or an angel. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, the gospel of the grace of Christ. If anybody preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him be sent to hell. Now, was Paul being unloving? Was Paul being harsh? These are the words of God the Holy Spirit through the mouth and pen of Paul. And he says in verse 9, just in case you didn't hear me, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. Let him be sent to hell. Let him be damned upon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I ask again, is Paul being harsh here? No, he's not. Nobody ever had as much love in their hearts as far as men goes as Paul does, but he knew what the issue was. And that's why he speaks this way. Now look what he says in verse 10. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, in this thing of preaching, believe me, I want you to be pleased with what I say. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I want you to be pleased. I want everybody to rejoice in what I'm saying. I want you to believe what I'm saying. I want you to glory in what I'm saying as the very truth of God. I want that. That being said, if God is pleased with what I'm saying, and nobody in this room is pleased, that's okay. That's okay. The only one I really care about being pleased with what I'm saying is God Himself. And I tell you what, if you're a believer, you don't want to hear anybody but that person who has that attitude. Now, if I'm a man pleaser, if what I'm seeking to do is please men in my preaching and teaching, I am not the servant of Christ. That's what Paul says. Look at the language of this. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Verse 11. But I certify you, I assure you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It was not derived from any human source. Perversions of the gospel are designed to please men, aren't they? That's the purpose. Here's an example. Here's an example of the perversion of the gospel. I don't know how many people, a lot of folks, for instance, who believe election. They say, well, God did choose who would be saved, and they're the only ones who will be saved. But Jesus Christ died savingly for everybody. He only elected some, but He died for everybody. And we got to say that because you can't really call on men to repent and believe unless you can assure them that Christ died for them. All that is pleasing the flesh. Nothing else.
There's no other motive for something like that. It's trying to make the gospel more palatable.
God elected the people. Christ died for the elect, only the elect, and accomplished their salvation. Now that's the truth. And anything contrary to that is a perversion of the gospel. Perversions of the gospel are designed to please men, therefore they have men as their source. But Paul says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached of me was not after man. It was not derived from any human source. It was not to please men. Look what it says in verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now Paul says, man didn't give this to me. Man didn't teach this to me. What I got directly from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to me. Now here's the authority. Here's the authority. The gospel I'm preaching came directly to me from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was the man that God used to expound the gospel. Nobody taught him. Remember in 2 Corinthians where it says he was taken up into the third heaven? And that's where the Lord taught him the gospel. And his gospel had divine authority. And a gospel that is not Paul's gospel is not God's gospel. You see, this is God's gospel that he gave to Paul to give to us. And what these teachers were doing, they were seeking to discredit Paul, and in doing that, they were discrediting the divine authority of his message. So he says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ. That's what the gospel is. The uncovering, the revealing of Jesus Christ. Now, this gospel is utterly unique. There's nothing like it. He's the author of it. He's the subject of it. His glory is the motive of it. It's the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is a perfect gospel. It can't be improved. It exactly suits my needs. I need a salvation that is all of grace. Now, that's what I need. I need that. And that's precisely what his gospel is. It's a perfect gospel. And the false teachers were seeking to discredit Paul. Look back a few pages in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself, the devil, the prince of this earth, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Back to Galatians 1. Now these men were seeking to discredit Paul. And so he says, the gospel that I received, I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he gives us some biographical information. Verse 13. He says, for you've heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. I was in the Jews' religion. And how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals of mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, what he's referring to at this time is these Judaizers who were coming in. He says, I know them. I was one of them. I understand what was going on. Turn back to Acts chapter 15. Here's what he's referring to. Acts chapter 15. This is what was happening in the churches of Galatia. Verse 1, Acts chapter 15. And certain men, which came down from Judea, the church of Jerusalem, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses
You cannot be saved. Yes, it's true, salvation is by grace, but you also need to be circumcised. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. Look down in verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and this caused great joy with all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, these are the people that Paul is speaking of. Now, back to our text in Galatians chapter 1. He says, I know something about the Jews' religion. Verse 13. For you heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I believe it was my moral obligation to persecute those who didn't believe the way I did. I thought they were so wrong. I thought I'd be serving God in doing it. He said in verse 14, I profited in the Jews' religion above mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. I was going places. I was somebody. Verse 15, but. Thank God for the buts of Scripture. But. I was going to hell thinking I was serving God. But. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the buts of the Scripture? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Aren't you thankful for the buts of Scripture, but God? But, he says in verse 15, when it pleased God, I was running in a mad dash to hell, Paul says, thinking I was serving God, but when it pleased God. When were you saved, Paul? When it pleased God. When it pleased God. Now, the only reason Paul was saved and the only reason that you or I will enter in heaven is because it pleases God. That's the only reason. God's sovereign choice. There is no other reason. The Lord said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for a moment. The pleasure of God, it pleased God. When it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb. Paul asked this question in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Now, right now, there are people who don't have any interest in the gospel. They're all excited about the soccer game today, and I understand that. I am too. I hope the United States wins. But they're interested in all kinds of things. They're interested in all the different stuff going on, and they have no interest in the gospel. How come you're not one of them? There's somebody else in a church, or a so-called church, where salvation by works is being taught, and they believe it, and they're there, and you're not. Why is that? It could be that somebody sitting beside you really has no love for Christ, and you do. Why? Verse 7, who makes you to differ from somebody else?
And what do you have that you didn't receive? Now, who makes me the difference?
I'm here because I want to be. I want to be. That's why I'm here. Who made me the difference? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody else doesn't. Who made me to differ? I believe the gospel. Somebody else doesn't. Is it because I'm smarter or more spiritual or a better person? No. Here's who made me to differ. God the Father made me to differ in eternal election when He separated me from my mother's womb. God the Son made the difference in redemption when He put away my sin and I now have no sin. God the Holy Spirit made the difference when He gave me life. God makes the difference. Remember, this is a reference to Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. As a matter of fact, turn with me there and you'll see this. Exodus chapter 11. Verse 6. Exodus 11, verse 6. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But, there's one of those buts. But, against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Who made you to differ? Well, if you're a believer, you know God made you to differ. Now, there are some men who quarrel with this. They have no problem with a God they can control. A God that's in their back pocket, and they can decide to let Him save them or not, and He's kind of waiting on what they decide. Well, nobody has a problem with that God. But the God who does according to His will, in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? That God didn't have a problem with. But let me remind you of a couple of things. First, that is the God of the Bible. Anything short is no God. But let me remind you something else. People see no safety in this. You know, that means I don't have any control over anything, if that's the case. I have no control. Well, you know, if a man was given absolute sovereignty, I'd be scared to death. Wouldn't you? You've heard the saying, power corrupts and absolute power would absolutely corrupt. Well, it would. You give me absolute power, watch out. We're all in trouble. But the one who has this absolute sovereignty is not like a man corrupt. He's altogether righteous. He's altogether just. He's altogether holy. And it's a good thing for him to have absolute sovereignty, isn't it? No, it wouldn't be for me, but for him, all this is the best news that there is. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? This is a reason to rejoice. Now back to our text in Galatians chapter 1. He says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. You remember what he said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 and 5? He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you had any existence, before you were born, before you were conceived, I knew you. Now God only knows somebody who's a person, doesn't He? He doesn't know a non-existent person. God's elect have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's always known them. And He's always known me. Before I formed thee in the belly, I mean, well, doesn't He know everybody? Well, He knows who everybody is, no doubt. But what did the Lord mean when He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity? I never knew you. He never knew him like this.
But he knows all of his people just like this, separated from my mother's womb. And he called me by his grace. God's will, when it pleased God. God's action. He separated me from my mother's womb. And God's calling. He called me by his grace. This is the same call Paul was speaking of when he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified." This is talking about the call of irresistible grace. "Lazarus, come forth." What did Lazarus do? He came forth. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house." You know what Zacchaeus did? He made haste and he came down. This is the effectual, irresistible, invincible call of God's sovereign grace. He says, "Live and you live." But note this next statement. Verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son," what's that next word? "In me." Not to me, but in me. Now, why that distinction? If Christ is merely revealed to me, it won't do me any good because of me. I'll lose it. If it's just a revelation to my mind where all of a sudden I know something I didn't know before, it will not do me any good. But notice Paul didn't say he's revealed to me, although he was in some measure, but that's not the language he uses. He was revealed in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He said in verse 19 of chapter 4, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you." Now this is the new creation, Christ in you. What's all this mean? I believe the gospel. And I know that it's Christ in me. I know that. I have a love for God. I have a love for His Word. I have a love for His people. I really do. And I know this. It's Christ in me. I can't give... My flesh doesn't get any credit at all. It's Christ in me. And I know this. When He revealed His Son in me, that's when I believed, when Christ was in me. The new creation. This is what this is speaking of. The new creation. Christ in you. Not just where you get your theology straight, you get some doctrines and facts, right? No, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. "For in Christ Jesus," and here's where I want to be, is in Christ. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation." I love the way creation describes salvation. The new creation, Christ in you, revealed His Son in you. The new creation is understood in light of the old creation. And the old creation and the new creation have the same author, don't they? God. What was the first thing in the old creation? Light. Light. What's the first thing in the new creation? Light. The light of who God is, the light of how He saves. The first creation came out of nothing. God created something from nothing. It's the same in the new creation, isn't it? He didn't work with anything in you. He made you what you were not. The Spirit and the Word gave the old creation its being, and it's the same in the new creation. The same power that created the world sustains it, and it's the same in the new creation. And when the Lord finished the old creation, He looked at it and He said, "It's very good." And when God does this new creation, He looks at it and He says, "It's very good. It's perfect." That's the new creation. Now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, let's go back to Galatians 1. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among me. That I might preach Him. I preach who He is. Now, here's what I'm preaching right now. Jesus Christ is God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who's in control. You're in His hands right now. He's God and He's man. There's a man in glory right now. The God-man, Christ Jesus. I preach who He is. And I preach what He did. What did He do? When He said, "It is finished," the salvation of the elect was accomplished. My salvation was accomplished when He said, "It is finished." Didn't have anything to do with my works. I wasn't even born when it was finished. I preach where He is, seated at the right hand of the Father. And I preach what He's doing. He's ruling and He's reigning. And He is mighty to save all who call upon His name. And if you call upon His name, He'll save you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. God called me to preach Him among the heathen. He Himself is our message. And look what He says next. To reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. If God reveals Himself to you, you don't have to check out your faith with other men to see if they agree with it. It doesn't have to be buttressed by the flesh. You don't have to check it out with me. Somebody says, "Well, do you think?" I've had people ask me, I guess because I'm a preacher. They say, "Well, do you think I'm saved?" What difference does it make what I think? If I think you are, it doesn't mean you are. And if I think you're not, it doesn't mean you're not. It doesn't make any difference what I think. When God reveals His gospel to you, you don't need to check out commentaries to see if it lines up with the commentaries and what did preachers of the past think and what did it... Who cares? You don't confer with flesh and blood because you know this is the truth. And you don't need some man to buttress your faith. You know this is God's truth. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. Now, if you've been listening to this message and you think, well, this is his interpretation. This is his opinion. This is what he thinks, or this is what this church believes. You've not heard. You've just not heard. When you hear the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, look what he says, for this cause, verse 13, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I preached the word of God this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you rely on Jesus Christ the Lord as your only righteousness before God? Are you relying on the fact that He's in heaven representing you before the Father? Are you relying on the fact, and it's a fact, that His precious blood is all that's needed to make you clean before God? Are you relying on Him? When your name is called upon in judgment day, what are you going to say? Are you going to look to Him to answer for you? That's what it is to rely on Him. 100%. Am I one of these people who believe? Well, if I am, I can certainly enter into what He says when it pleased God. When were you saved? When it pleased God. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. And if He's in you, you know what that means. And if He's not in you, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I can't do anything about that. But if He's in you, you know the only reason you believe is because He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There was a time when you didn't believe, and now you do. And you know why. It's because He's in you. It didn't come from you. It came from Him. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately, I didn't consult with the flesh about this. This is the Word of God. Let's pray together.